shall we turn to the Gospel according to John. And the first chapter. Verse 29. John 1, 29. John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not. But that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore am I come, baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Again, the next day after, John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Praise God. And why do you think they followed him? Why do you think they followed him? Well, I suppose anybody with an average intelligence would come to one conclusion. And that is because they'd heard what John said about him. I suppose, too, that when John said what he said, he had no idea that he was sowing the seeds of loss to his band of disciples when he said it. For these men had come to him and they'd known the joy of sins forgiven. They had been baptized in Jordan for the remission of their sins, and they knew that all their sins were forgiven. But somehow, I suppose, it left them inside with the hunger that must be in everybody's heart that just knows what it is to be forgiven. Alas, alas, so many think that life is a series of being forgiven. And that's what life is. You keep on getting forgiven, you keep on getting forgiven, and you keep on getting forgiven until at last you land in heaven, and then you won't have to be forgiven anymore. I expect it's something like that. May not be put in such a way, but I should think that in many, many people's hearts, that's about what it means. But you see, they heard John say that here is someone who takes away sin. Heard him say that. And they heard him say that here's someone who baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And of course, if we had read the other Gospels, that is Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we would have read that he said he baptizes with the Holy Ghost and fire. And that's why they left John. Because, as Wesley has it for us, in one of his wonderful hymns that aren't in this selection, but it'll be in another one, I promise you, when it comes. And please do be very nice about this hymn book, won't you? Because it was, as Norman has said, rushed through and off the press, and it never had the right type of supervision in the process. So if you find a lot of mistakes in it, well, all right. Get the next one and you won't find them there, we trust. But as Wesley has it in one of his wonderful verses, I cannot rest in sins forgiven. Where is the earnest of my heaven? That's how Wesley puts it, and how right it was. It was just as true in John's heart, for he it was who left John Baptist. He was one of them, and followed Jesus. He couldn't rest in sins forgiven. He wanted sin taking away from him. That's what he heard. He heard John say, he takes away the sin of the world, mark you. So I expect John thought, well, I ought to be all right in this, if it's for the whole world. And heard him say that this is he who baptizes with the Holy Ghost and fire. And that was that. And they followed him. And they followed him. And they followed him. I strongly suspect that they were expecting any moment that what they had heard John say would take place. But never at all whilst they followed him in his earthly form. Or, as Norman has already reminded us, whilst he was Jesus Christ after the flesh. That is, Jesus of Nazareth, made in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin. Paul, by the Holy Spirit, is very emphatic about this. He was made in the likeness of sinful flesh for sin. You read that in Romans chapter 8. You can read it. He was made for sin. That's what he was made in the flesh for sin. That's why he was made a lamb. The lamb that was to bear the sin of the world and bear it right away. And although it never took place during the lifetime of the Lord Jesus, that is, whilst they were following him, it did take place during his earthly life on the earth, but strange enough, during his death, while he was departing from this life, they followed him to the end. And glory be to the name of the Lord Jesus. They were there when God did this wonderful work in them, that what he accomplished on Calvary in bearing away the sin of the world factually, historically, in fulfillment of all the promises of God. On that great day of Pentecost, he enacted in them, by the burning fire of the Spirit of God from heaven, he came down and cauterized them. He burned sin out of them. He burned it out of them. Praise God. That's what he did. And what a wonderful thing, beloved, when God comes and does this to a man or a woman. Hallelujah. I hope none of us here haven't just equated Pentecost with some kind of an anointing for power, for service. Alas, alas, as one moves round the country, one finds all too many of this kind of person who's been led to believe that now they were forgiven, they should get an anointing for service, power for witness, or something like this. And find, oh, how deeply they find it in themselves that they aren't able to live this life that was promised them. If I went round you all now, one by one, and I said, now come on, you be absolutely honest, man. Don't give the accepted testimony. Don't say the words that you're expected to say, but tell the truth. Have you found sin dealt with in your heart and life? Whether you say you've been baptized in the Spirit or whether you can't say it, have you found that God has dealt with this in your life? As surely as we're sitting here in this room, beloved, as I know God, and as the testimony of this book is, God's chiefest aim at Calvary was to deal with sin. And on the day of Pentecost, beloved, brothers and sisters, it was to deal with sin. They'd all had power for service before Jesus died on the cross. You only need to read your gospel. Why, even Judas, who had a demon, went round with power for service, if you like to use this term. Healing the sick and casting out devils, apparently. Perhaps you've never thought of it quite so solemnly and so straightly, but he did. Am I right or wrong? What do the Gospels say? Then whatever was God doing at Pentecost then, and what gave he more further to these people than they never had before? He gave them, beloved, a blessed baptism in the Holy Ghost and fire. That's what he did. Oh, yes, they went on in service. They went on in all kinds of things afterwards. But they had before. Same kinds of things. Miracles and signs and wonders and all that took place by the grace and power of God. But on that glorious day, beloved, God came down in fire and he baptized these people in himself and he fused them with him. And they became one being with God. They were baptized into God and were left on earth to develop the Christ personality and character until the day that they should be called home. They were fused with God. Fire came, and that's God. Our God is a consuming fire. And God came down and he consumed them in fire into himself. That's what God did on the day of Pentecost. Praise his wonderful name. Now let us shout and trumpet this abroad everywhere. Let us call for this over a trumpet voice on all the world to call and bid their hearts rejoice in him who died for all. This is what we want this great trumpet voice for, beloved, to tell men and women of this glory, this consummate glory of God. This coming down from heaven and swallowing men up in perfect love. For love, beloved, is the power of a pure and a holy and a perfect life. And love is the power, too, of a sinful life. A different kind of love. If you want to know what the strength of sin is in your life, it's the love of it. That's right. Sin was the transferring of the preferences and desires and loves of a fallen creature, Lucifer, to mankind via Eve and Adam into the human race, and we're all born with a love of it in us. It's the strength of it. And that's why we can't break it and get rid of it. And that's why John trod the old trail with the rest of them in Judea, down to Jordan, to confess his sins and get them forgiven. Because he couldn't stop sinning. He was predisposed to it by his nature. Power in him, love of it, an inability to break his own will for it. Amen. Glory be to God. It's a wonderful thing when a man comes to that realization in his own life. That's why we sing and shout and trumpet and glory about the cross. Amen. For love came, blessed love. The Lamb of God came, beloved brothers and sisters, and he hung on that cross. And he dealt with it there. God came down and dealt with it. Hallelujah. And on that great day of Pentecost, beloved, God came and he dealt with it. It's only love that can win the conquest. It's quite right in that hymn that we sung. It's only love that can bend and break and melt an adamantine heart. Only love can do it. Glory. And no man will ever live in this glory of the revelation of our holy life unless he loves and loves and loves with the love of God. It isn't fear of going to hell, nor is it fear of anything else that keeps a man holy. It's love of God. Love. Amen. Absolute, perfect love in the heart, given from God. An ability to love so that it becomes his nature and becomes his whole desire to love. It becomes his tenderness and it becomes his compassion and it becomes all the movings of his will to love. To love God. Amen. Praise God. And just for love of him, to live pure and clean. That's right. It's this, beloved, wherewith God visited those people on that day of Pentecost. Glory be to the name of the Lord. It's this that sent them out. It's this that did the work in their hearts. They had a pure and glorious visitation of the Spirit of God upon them. Hallelujah. Now turn with me to the first epistle of John. And in that great and wonderful first epistle, I suppose that most of you here anyway have heard me talk about this epistle before. And what you ought to do about this epistle. And if you haven't done it, you're to take a black mark. Those of you who haven't heard it said before, I usually advise people to read this at least 20 times. 30, 40, 50 times if possible. At least 20 times. Now, those of you who've read this epistle, you will notice that a wonderful thing comes into view all the way through this epistle. If you look into the first chapter, you find this in verse 3. The Father with his Son, Jesus Christ. You see that? And into the second chapter, you have in the first verse, Father and Jesus Christ. If you look lower down, you have in verse 23, the Son and the Father. Verse 24, the Son and the Father. And so you go down through this glorious epistle. And have you noticed this? That you and I would talk about Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And it seems as though John has left it incomplete. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Where's the Holy Ghost? And in place of the Holy Ghost, he puts you. Father, Son, and you. We have fellowship, we're told. All right? We have fellowship, in verse 2, with the Father, with the Son. We, with the Father, with the Son. What a glorious and wonderful thing this is, beloved. So God is revealing that the Holy Ghost has done his wonderful work. He's brought us into fellowship with Father and with Son. Praise God that the Holy Ghost has come and done his wonderful work in each one of us. And the Blessed Spirit has brought us into that wonderful fellowship, that one with the Father and with the Son. That's right. It was the Holy Ghost that came down on the day of Pentecost. It was the Holy Spirit that came down on that group in the upper room. It's the Holy Ghost to this very day who comes to fulfill the blessed objects of God at Calvary in us. And the workings of the Holy Spirit are to bring us into this glorious relationship with the Father and with the Son. Oh, it's such a tremendous and glorious thing, beloved, that this should take place in all our lives. And it can take place in yours. You can come into such an experience of God by his Holy Spirit that you can know him in glorious and intimate and moment by moment fellowship, in that union, living that same glorious life with him that the Holy Ghost enjoys with the Father and with the Son. He's come down to share it with us. He's come to make his fellowship with Father and Son in us, to bring the whole glorious fullness of the Godhead in all its fullest reaches, far beyond our most stupendous thoughts, bring it into reality in our lives. This is what the Holy Ghost has come for. And no one in this room ought to be outside it. No one. Every one of us ought to be in this. Praise God's name. This is that which swallows up everything else. This is that which deals with everything else. Hallelujah. Look at this first chapter of this epistle. Look at the first word. That. Look at the first word of verse 3. That. Last night you will remember, those of us who were together, we were thinking of God's name, and he says, do you want to know who I am? I am that. I am that I am. That's right. He's that. Glory. And John says, that. We're right on it. That. Glory. That which was from the beginning. That same one that came to Moses and said, you want to know who I am, Moses? You want to know, you want to be able to tell the children of Israel who I am? I'm that. Glory. Praise God. And John's here, you see, they're in the same spirit of revelation. They've got the truth. That, he says, that. Hallelujah. Have you got this? Are you in this? You're either in it or you're out of it. It's either in you or out of you. With Moses, it was outside of them. The Lord came and said, I am that, I am that I am. Which I am? Well, that I am. But can't you be more explicit? No, that I am. Of course you can't be explicit with God. Whoever got him into a test tube or on a slide rule? Whoever got him into a philosophy? Why, my good brother, I told you we swapped stories. Now you're in for it, Norman. He says he's got to go and preach at a university sometime, somewhere. And the subject they've given him is Jesus Christ, another philosopher. Praise God. He's that. That's right. Listen, that. Let's read it. Which was from the beginning. That's who he is. Amen. Glory, that's who he is. Amen. You either know him or you don't. Praise God. Now you know that there's been, shall we say, something. I use the neuter gender because the Holy Ghost does. I'm not turning away from Scripture. He uses the neuter, that. Now you know there's something from the beginning. You know it's not sin. You know it's not selfishness. You know it's not wickedness. You know it's not lust. You know it's not uncleanness. You know it's perfection. You know it's glory. You know it's that which you're reaching out after. You know it's that which you want. That's right. Amen. Is that right? Why, I could tell you of people. I remember one man stopped me one day. I was blithely walking along the road. I don't know where I was going, the church where I was going. I was coming home from it. And he stopped me and he said, it's easy to see you got something I haven't got. I said, well, you can have it. We dealt in it. For a start. But he saw it. That. That's right. And unless people can see that, there's something wrong with you. Basically wrong. Radically wrong. They've got to see it. This is how the world approaches. And when God goes to the world, this is how he starts to talk. That which was from the beginning. John says, we heard it. We've seen it with our eyes. We looked upon it. Our hands handled it. See, there he was. He was on the banks of Jordan. He heard something. The Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. John was speaking by the Holy Ghost. Heard the word of God. Looked. Saw it. Then we stopped and we had a good long look at it. And then we handle it. And we want to tell you it's God. That's right. He's God. Jesus. Glory. The life was manifested. We've seen it. We bear witness and show unto you that eternal life. We've seen it. We've heard it. We've handled it. We show it to you. This is the simplicity of being a Christian. We show it to you. Can you see it? If not, shut up. For when you hear about you shall be witnesses unto me, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. This is what he says. And turn with me back into John's Gospel. And in this glorious Gospel, we read these wonderful words in the end of the 15th chapter When the Comforter is come, verse 26, whom I will send unto you from the Father, John 15:26, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me, and ye shall bear witness. That word testify is the same word witness. He'll bear witness to me. You bear witness. 1 John 1:2, the life was manifested, we've seen it, we bear witness. Now nobody bears witness until they show. That's right. The Holy Ghost came to bear witness. He came to show, to reveal Jesus. That's what he's done to me. He's revealed Jesus to me. That's what he's done, that blessed Holy Ghost. He's revealed Jesus to me. I know Jesus. Now I show him to you. And that's bearing witness. If you can't show Jesus to people, you're not a witness. You haven't been baptized in the Spirit. Though you may think you have. I'm not saying you mightn't have spoken a few words in another tongue or something like that. Or been told you'd had the second blessing according to which group you worshipped with or something like that and got the doctrine of it all right. I'm not talking about that at all. You're not a witness if you can't show Jesus. That's what it's all about. We saw it. We heard him. We handled him. Now it's your turn. Here he is. He's shown to you. Isn't it simple? Now, beloved, this is what God intended. He didn't intend fine feathers and flowery speeches. He didn't intend trainings and strainings and I don't know what. He intended men and women to be baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire. And show everybody what it's like to be on fire with perfect love. That's what it is. To be fused into God. To be made one with him. When did it happen to you? Ah, beloved, you may believe all sorts of things. And thank God you do believe them and not the opposites if you're believing the right thing. But oh, there is a place, beloved, where you come beyond your believing. God always takes you along beyond your believing. Amen. That's right, when you can turn around and have a look at them. And say, I used to believe that. Now I am it. I used to believe that, now I know it. Yes, isn't it a wonderful thing when you're beyond your believing? And in that great and glorious life, of course Jesus Christ believed he was the Son of God. But he was beyond his believing, the Son of God. Wonderful. He said he was. He proved he was. He showed he was. He did all that should be expected of a Son of God. And so have you got to be able to do that. You've got to be able to do all that's expected of a person that says they're baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire. And are you doing that? Are you doing that? Praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why in John's epistle he says, we know that whosoever's born of God doesn't commit sin. He's not even saying, I've delivered unto you what I received of the Lord. You know, something the Lord had told him. He says, we know it. We know it. Do you know that? Do you know that? We know that whosoever's born of God doesn't commit sin. But you see, he was writing to people and they didn't know it. He didn't say that you know it. He says we know it. If you don't know it, you mustn't say they didn't. You mustn't tell lies. You mustn't say they didn't because you don't. Because here's a man, and either he's telling us the truth or he's the biggest liar that ever walked on the earth or put a pen to paper. The devil's emissary, if ever there was one, an apostle of hell turned into an angel of light, if it wasn't true, but it was an apostle of heaven. A glorious radiation from the throne. We know, he said, don't we? You know, he's saying, yeah, write back and tell old John, write him a love letter. He wrote them a love letter. Yes, John, you're absolutely right. We know that those that are born of God don't commit sin. That's what he said. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Could you write John a letter like that tonight? Could you go and get down by your bed and dictate your love letter to the Holy Ghost? Yes, John, we know. Yes, Jesus, we know. Glory. We know. Hallelujah. That God has come and so wrought in the light. So done miracles inside. Now I want to say to you, my beloved brothers and sisters, not in any way do I speak to condemn. I speak truly and only to lift your eyes to him. Lift your eyes to Jesus. He's the one that does this. It comes from his holy heart. The Holy Ghost is streaming through him from the Father to you tonight. He's untouched by human hands. It doesn't come any way. It doesn't come through a scheme of doctrine. It doesn't come through men who've written systems of theology or anything like that, beloved. The Holy Ghost is coming clean, pure through from Jesus. And I'll ask you one question. Would you expect anything streaming through Jesus to come with sin in it to your heart? Would you expect it to come with any condemnation or the slightest uncleanness? Would you expect it? Any variation from the rule of heaven and the law of the house of the Father? Nay, he comes through that blessed one from him. Blessed be the name of the Lord, and the devil can't touch it, and the workers of iniquity can't handle it, and it isn't in man's power. It comes from God, God alone. Hallelujah. That your soul should be bathed in it, your spirit should be plunged in it, and come out all fire, burning in God. And God burning in you. That's what it's all about. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This was a far cry from Jordan, where they thought about having their sins forgiven. Oh, hallelujah. Here is a great place. Father, we're in fellowship with you and with the Son. And Jesus could say, the Holy Ghost has accomplished his mission, Father, just as I did mine. I finished the work you gave me to do. And the Holy Ghost would say, yes, and I finished mine too. Amen. This is his wonderful, glorious work in us, beloved. Here, there's a hymn in this book. Where is it? If you haven't sung this one yet, it used to be 240 in the old Methodist, but we're not going to sing it yet. I'm going to read it to you if I can find it. Oh, I'll quote it to you. If I can't find it, I think I know it anyway. Sinners, here it is, verse 10. Open your hymn books and read it. Chapter 10, number 10, sorry. I've got the Bible on my mind and in my heart. Best place to have it, isn't it? Here it is. Number 10. Sinners, lift up your hearts, the promise to receive. Jesus himself imparts. He comes in man to live. The Holy Ghost to man is given. Rejoice in God sent down from heaven. Miss the second verse. Verse 3. To make an end of sin and Satan's works destroy, he brings his kingdom in, peace, righteousness, and joy. Look at verse 4. The cleansing blood to apply, the heavenly life display, and holy sanctify, and seal us to that day. Look at verse 5. Sent down to make us meet to see his glorious face. Not sort of granted on approval or grudgingly. To make us meet. Hallelujah. Sent down to make us meet to see his glorious face and grant us each a seat in that thrice happy place. The Holy Ghost of man is given. Amen. Yes, that's why. Praise his wonderful name. To fill the life with glory. And suffuse your soul with love and peace and righteousness. And make you all one with it all. Amen. So that it and you are one. That and you are one. And you can't show it to people. If not, you can talk about it. But you can't show it to them. And Jesus does this. This is the method of God. Let's go back into Luke. Luke. And in the great 8th chapter. Verse 1. Jesus went through every city and village preaching and showing. There it is. Preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom. And the 12 were with him. They saw it. You see, that's what John said. We saw it all. Oh, don't you think that Jesus was a preacher? Only. He was a wonderful preacher, but he showed. He took a demonstration round with him. It was better than the motor show. A demonstration. Showed it. And here you are. Here it is. Praise God. Look at this person. Mary Magdalene was there. It had 7 devils in her. Look at her. Look at her. Oh, glory. Look at Mary Magdalene. 7 devils came out of her. God. And Jesus Christ cleared her out, ready for the Holy Ghost to come. Amen. That was a wonderful thing. Showed it. And you can go through these wonderful names. And all the 12 were there. And so John said, the Lord, he shall demonstrate this. Now, beloved, God holds everybody responsible along this great line. Look with me in Romans chapter 1. Let's pick up a principle of operation, the way the God moves. In Romans chapter 1, verse 18, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. There you are. That's the heathen. This is a principle with God. He makes it manifest. He shows it. He always does this. Praise God. I look up into the firmament of heaven and I see that God has showed his wonderful power. Showed it. Manifest. It'll be all over the heavens now whilst we're here. For everybody to see. What sun or moon or stars or what it be. Gorgeous blue clouds, blue sky and clouds and all these glories. All there. Hallelujah. Now this is the way, beloved. God wants to spread it abroad for everybody to see it. This great, wonderful love and power of his to be burning in each one of our hearts. Beloved, as he said, why only for his glory burn? And I want to tell you, if you don't burn for his glory, you'll burn for love. Something, somewhere, for someone, you will, for the world, you've got to burn for God. Beloved, you were made to burn. made to burn. You've got to burn. If love doesn't reach burning point in you, beloved, what an insipid thing you are. And who will want you? Who will want you if love doesn't ever come to burn in you? Hallelujah. Why, even angels, they're each one of them seraphs, being the burning ones. They're all burning spirits, beloved. Hallelujah. And when a man is brought through to this place by God, and he's clothed with power from on high, what on earth do you think the power is, if it isn't the power of this great burning fire? This is a man's power, clothed with it. And he's untouchable then, except by God or his own brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. In this great union with God, these are the only ones that can come and become one with him. And this is what it's all about, beloved, that God should have brought us into this place of fire and love and glory to live with him. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Are you here? Now, if not, beloved, you may come here. God wants to bring you here. Right into this
is the baptism.
Glory be to the name of the Lord Jesus. The deal with a man right down to the very fundament of it. Amen. Now I remember the time when God dealt with me. I didn't know at the time what I was groaning and reaching out for. It was it, something. Right out there. I didn't know what it was. I looked at the various prescriptions of different people. But oh, when God comes. Hallelujah. Above forgiveness, beyond there, that blessed Lamb who comes. Wonderful Lamb of God. When I see all my sins identified with him, that I should see all his holiness identified with me. All my life gone upon him, that all his life may come upon me. This great, glorious exchange isn't fair. Of course it's not fair. It isn't fairness. It isn't justice I'm after. It's this glorious grace of God. It's this wonderful, glorious thing that God does to take a man inside of him and draw out all that's inside of him and put it on Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now, to fall into this ocean of love is all the art of faith. To know, beloved, that this is all that God wants. Praise him that I believe him. That's all. Let everything go on him. Everything. Have you ever done that? Have you ever let God deal with you in this matter? Everything, you must have no ambitions now. You must have no desires now beyond this. You mustn't be planning for tomorrow even. Leave alone what you're going to do in 12 months' time. It's this to be taken up, and until the heart and the mind is taken up here, ah me, I fear you'll never get there. Until this and only this just fills all the desire. The same as when that precious one in Gethsemane, having stated all that he wanted to state, took the cup That's all from Father. He said, Father, I'll do that. And he lived now for that moment to drink that cup and finish everything right off. And he didn't care what anybody thought or what anybody said. He cared about no distractions, nothing. Only this, that he should go there. Ah, praise the name of the Lord. Ah, the vacillating heart and the fickle mind of man that can hardly stay concentrated on eternal things for more than 2 minutes on an end. Oh, how we need the Holy Ghost, every one of us, beloved, to bring us all here. And this is why the arts of man can't touch a soul. No, yet the words he speaks can do it. But only the Holy Ghost, beloved, can come upon a man or a woman and hold them there so that that love, that sin love inside them, shan't twist them off the point of eternal truth. That's the wickedness of a man's heart. That's the terror of it all. You've got it inside you, man and woman. You don't need a demon host, and you don't need horrible neighbors. You don't need terrible enemies. You've got it all in your heart, except God should deal with it. That's right. God comes and he deals with it by his wonderful grace. This is the power of the Blessed Spirit. He'll do it. The decisive power lays in the hand of the Spirit. And he brings it into your spirit. Let no one turn for their own weakness. Let no one be turned aside because they think they're not this, that, or the other. The Holy Ghost comes, beloved, to hold a man right up against the blessed heart of the Christ until it be done, for it's Jesus who baptizes a man or woman in the Holy Ghost of fire. Jesus who does it. That blessed, loving Jesus. And that's why he sent the Holy Ghost, because while he was on earth, he himself couldn't do it. He had to do it by the power of the Spirit. That's the revelation. I've got to go away, he said. If I don't go away, the Comforter won't come. He went back home. I've got to go up there, he said, that the Holy Ghost should come down here and hold the hearts of men and women. Men, they've been following him for several years. Hold them there, beloved, where God could visit them with the finished work of Calvary, where God could bring them into completeness by the Holy Ghost. That's right. Nobody gets in here by their own effort. No one. So don't anybody despair. You may say, I'm weak. You may say, I'm fickle. You may say, I'm this. I've never had a strong will. You may say, I've this, that, and the other. It doesn't matter what you say, beloved. We say one thing to you, and it's Jesus, and he's all sufficient. And the Holy Ghost has come to do it in your life. When did it happen to you, beloved? When? When did everybody see that you were lost on God, gone? Gone away from your mother's ambitions or apron strings. Gone away from your father's plans for your life. And gone away from what the devil would do to you. And gone away from the power of the world to hold you. When did they see that you were gone? Right away, there, held by God. When did your wife know it, man? And when did your husband know it, woman? When? Praise God. This lies out there beyond words. It's something that God does. Blessed that by his grace he should reach down from heaven to night. And he should have his eye upon you. And say, that's the one. She's been seeking this. He's been wanting this. Praise God. God got me there. Got me there. And I tell you, for the life of me, after all these years, he's got me there now. Yeah, he's got me there now, this minute. Hallelujah. That's what makes words like these come. Let me into nothing fall. Thou, Christ, all in all. See? You don't find words like that on Valentine's or love cards or letters, do you? God, all in all. Praise God. Is that the longing of your heart? I know some women never get here because they long for marriage more than this with some man. I know some men who don't get here because they long for marriage, or they long for a better job, or they long for this or that more than this. Yeah. They're all eaten up with this inside. There, God. Glory be to the name of the Lord. When natural things pass away, beloved. Eh? When the world and time and sense seems all to go, and these moments we're caught up in God and Him alone. Praise His wonderful name. Hallelujah. When did it happen to you like that? Now it's got to happen like that. This is the way God does it. A baptism. Now may the Lord do it then for each one of us in this room tonight. Are you there? If not, you need to cry to God. This blessed Lamb bears away the sin of the world. Bears it away. Oh, hallelujah. It's no longer here close my spirit, tantalizing me. It's no longer here binding me. It's no longer having dominion over me. Glory be to God. He's taking it away. Amen. Bless him. When God baptizes a man in the Holy Ghost, he's got a past. Praise God. He's got a past. It's gone. Amen. It's gone. Hallelujah. He's got God in a wonderful way. If I said to you, put your hand up if you're in this. Praise God. Put your hands up if you're in this. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. If I told you tonight that Jesus was coming back by midnight, you'd put your hand up to want to be there, wouldn't you? Yes, you would. Praise Him. How about being in, or beloved, anticipating the great day of His return? The Lord fills us up with Himself. In these great initial phases when God moves upon a man or a woman, it seems as though everything changes. Things that were seem no longer to be, and things that never were now are. A radical change. Amen. That's what happened to me. Amen. Since that day, further movings, more glorious experiences, yes, by His wonderful grace, from glory to glory with God. Now I believe, beloved, that God wants to do this great work in hearts here tonight, that which was from the beginning, that identical life. You can identify it by the man whose portrait is caught for us and printed upon the pages of the New Testament. You can test it. It's that life or it is not life. For that life is that life. He is that I am. Amen. Glory. What a wonderful life. And you've got to be like it. Like it. Amen. Full of love and grace and fire and sweetness. Oh, God. It's a baptism, beloved. Oh, it's your right in God. As sure as that head has gone up there in the glory, so his body must know the wonder of this perfect love too. Amen. Let's pray and let's seek God.